I'd like to introduce Samantha Green. She works as a research associate with Applied Survey Research in Southern California. You guys are based out of?
In Santa Cruz.
In Santa Cruz, there we go.
First thing I'm going to say, I'm not being rude, I'm just going to check my time with my phone, so I promise I'm not checking email. Okay, so today I'm just going to talk a little bit about including McKinney-Vento County Office of Education numbers in your point in time count. So just kind of so I have a rough idea of where I should focus, how many of you guys are involved in kind of your PIT count data? All right, good. All right, so I'll get into the weeds a little bit here. I have no relationships to disclose.
We never do.
Okay, so the ASR PIT count timeline. Sorry?
But now it's on tape.
That's right. We're official. So a little bit about ASR. We began doing point-in-time counts of those experiencing homelessness in 1899 in Monterey County. Since that time, we've kind of been growing on our skills, and we began conducting separate youth point-in-time counts in 2005. This has become a really big area of focus for us. In 2009, we expanded our counts into rural areas. In 2011, we piloted a youth survey. So youth counts have been kind of growing and changing over the past couple years. There's been really exciting things that happened in 2013. So changes to federal reporting requirements, where we had the different age categories that were required for reporting. So ages 18 to 25, this was the first time that we actually saw those, which was pretty exciting for us. So we've been collecting data on those that age group for a long time, the transition age youth, and it was great to see other communities that were going to be doing that as well. So why do youth counts matter? We don't change anything if we don't measure it. And then we really wanted to know the scope and scale of the issue. So recognizing who the population was, how big the population was the best way for us to address the issue. In 2013, this is just some results from a few of the communities that we worked in. What we found was that between 16 and 26% of the overall population that was experiencing homelessness was under the age of 18 as unaccompanied youth, or between that age group of 18 to 24. So this is with focused youth counts. San Francisco was one of our largest counts. We had about 1,900 youth, unaccompanied children and youth combined. It was 26% of the overall population. So for us, this was a big finding. We were seeing this population increase over time. In 2005, it was not nearly as high as it is today. A lot of concern has come up with this, and a lot of talk about the lost generation. So our dedicated surveys came back with some great information. We're still seeing that males experience homelessness in this age group more than females, so 64%. A really surprising finding this year was 31% of our youth identified as LGBTQ, and 28% had a history of foster care. With more direct kind of health and mental health, we found that 28% reported a mental health issue, so lower than the over 25 population. 36 reported that they were in fair or poor health conditions. 80% reported drug or alcohol use. 32% had been physically attacked or assaulted on the streets. And 40% had been threatened in, at least once in the last month. So why does it matter? We all know that the average life expectancy for someone on the street is 30 years less than someone that's housed. But the big question is, what happens when they become homeless at 17? For us, the biggest kind of reason for us exploring the issue of youth homelessness is that we can either address youth homelessness now, or we can wait 20 years and then address a new generation of chronically homeless that'll be more expensive with more health conditions. So very exciting in 2013 was the youth count effort. So there were a lot of changes that came through. The federal government really rallied behind the idea of youth counts. They put out youth count and with the goals of collaborative PIT counts, integrating data into the overall PIT count effort. And for us that was kind of already focused in this area, we decided that we would really highlight coordinating with our local educational agencies. This was a place that we hadn't focused in the past or hadn't had kind of great outcomes, and so in 2013 we really decided that was the place that we'd focus. So what's the big challenge with your COE or LEA data is that we have giant McKinney-Vento youth numbers, right, and teeny tiny youth PIT count numbers in most communities. So how do we kind of get this data to talk to one another? The other challenge is that for most of us, the COE data is an annual data, right? So it's reported once per year. Usually that list is accumulation of students who have been reported through the schools, whereas our PIT count data is, of course, a point in time. The school definition is much broader with the new definition of homelessness that's gone through in this past year. Those definitions have become closer, but it still includes the double up, which is not included in that point in time count. So our strategy was to validate the COE data for inclusion on the one-day count, so to actually focus in and have our schools verify the location of our families and our children on the day of the point-in-time count. This is a huge endeavor. We will say that for sure. So awesome idea, but how does it work? So step one was coordination. What we did is we worked to ensure that the process fit into the overall PIT count, so making sure that we weren't duplicating efforts, making sure that this was going to kind of fit within the broader system. We recruited partners that could create buy-in into this process. So one of the biggest challenges was actually getting the school districts on board with this process. So for us, it was really finding somebody that was an advocate of youth counts. So one of the communities that we work with is Santa Clara County. So Bill Wilson, who's a great youth service provider in San Jose, they're one of our greatest advocates. They've been using youth count data for funding streams, for all kinds of program planning for years, and so they really believed in the count, and they were a great partner in kind of getting people involved. We also worked with our LEA representatives, our homeless liaisons, and then the PIT count coordinators, making sure that kind of everybody was on board and moving with this process. The other piece was working within the current system, so not trying to create something that was new or putting new requirements on top of people that we were working with. So using the chain of command within the County Office of Education. So there's always a system of hierarchy, right? So finding out what that hierarchy was and working within that system. The other piece was working with existing data collection categories, so kind of determining how data was being collected, what we could look at, and kind of feed through that system. I'll get a little bit more into that with the example that I have here. And then developing our outreach strategy. So our outreach began in October of 2012 and kind of moved through. We were coordinating with our educational system, I would say, regularly once a month and then on to 2 weeks. And then we're talking to people kind of every couple of days as the process got a little closer to January. So step three was to kind of design, right? Determining the level of data that was going to be the easiest to collect. So are we collecting county data? Are we collecting district data? Are we collecting school-based data? And then prioritizing who we were going to contact within those lists that the school had, and just keeping it simple. So I'm going to use Santa Cruz County as our best example, just because that's where we're from. So our County Office of Education structure is that we have one Student Support Service Coordinator, kind of oversees the whole system, the McKinney-Vento Act grants. We have one COE homeless liaison, and then we have 8 district homeless liaisons, so each of them are in charge of these districts. Like I'm sure most communities, we have a lot of small districts and then just a couple of really big districts that have the largest number of students, which of course presents challenges. And then for their data collection, in California, we had previously been reporting through these categories. So youth by double up, by shelter, by hotel, motel accommodations, and those that were unsheltered. A fabulous challenge that California created in 2013 is that they no longer reported by these categories or were required to report by these categories. Thankfully, many of the districts maintained those reporting categories or at least had some data that they could pull from and kind of go back to those categories for us. Lump data is not super helpful, so if you have it, we can talk. Okay, so what we did is then we prioritized kind of who we're going to go through this list, contact first so that we can kind of see what's happening. Our biggest was the green light was going through the unsheltered numbers. In Santa Cruz County, there are 4,000 students who are recorded through the County Office of Education. When we started to look, only about 200 of those were reported as actually unsheltered. It's a fun ringtone. When we talked to the district liaisons, one of the things that they said was that while there's all of these really, you know, kind of categories of students that we're looking at, one of the best indicators for those that are currently homeless is truancy records. So once we went past kind of looking at those who were identified as unsheltered, it was looking at those who had high rates of truancy, because it was the best indicator for those that were actually on the street, making it difficult for them to come to school. And then the last was motel or hotel. Recognizing that these were smaller categories, more achievable, and folks that were probably more likely to still be on the street when we were calling them in January. So the biggest thing for this was that we changed the level of data collection from the students. So the school districts are recording data really only on the student rather than on the household. So once we started to look at the household, we recognized that many of these students were coming from the same household, which meant that we only had to make one phone call or meet with one household rather than meeting with four students. And then in Santa Cruz County, what we did is we gathered data by the district. It was much more manageable in size. So looking at about 200 students, dividing that over 8 homeless liaisons, it made the process much more simple. And then we had our homeless liaisons actually do the calling for the verification. This kind of allowed us to ensure that we met with all the confidentiality requirements, right? So having somebody else call is just not possible. And then making sure that when they were making those phone calls, that each of the households knew that this was absolutely safe and that it wasn't going to kind of impede on their ability to access McKinney-Vento services, no matter what they said or where they were staying. And then all of the data that was recorded and reported to us is absolutely anonymous, so we didn't have to deal with any of the confidentiality in that way either. So, keep it simple, right? So this is just an example of our planning and design. This is the data recording system that we came up with. It was super simple, super easy. So we numbered our households. We had a breakdown of the number of people by each age group. So the number of children that were under 18, the number of youth 18 to 24, and the number of adults 25 and over. And then they just recorded the location of where they were staying. Because they were actually recording on the date of the count, it was really nice. We had information both at the household level and by the location, so we could kind of weed through and see those who met the PIT definition and those who did not. Again, this was only for those that were kind of in that unsheltered category that had been prioritized for data collection. We found that a lot of them were no longer in the location that had been reported, and that many of them were actually in double-up situations, but many of them weren't. So again, gathering data at the household level allows for the accuracy of the reporting, making sure that you can report that household status when you get to your actual kind of HUD reporting requirements. And then grouping the data by district allowed for us to really look at the geographic distribution of the population, not only for our reporting and analysis, but also to make sure that we're not duplicating the numbers. Okay, so unintended results. While this was part of the youth count effort, this is actually a family count effort. What we found is that in Santa Cruz County, 108 people were included in the count that would not have otherwise been included in the count, but 83 of those were people and families. It represented 15% of the overall family population in Santa Cruz County, but it represented almost 100% of the unsheltered family population. So this was one of the main ways that we actually got the number of people that are in families and on the street. In Monterey County, similar kind of effort, 214 additional people were included in the count, and it was 38% of those that were in families. So a very cool way. We had not intended that this was kind of the way that it would all work out. We did have a couple of youth that were under age 18, which again are really difficult for us to capture. Even with a specific youth count effort, most of those youth are 18 to 24. So it did get to those unaccompanied youth as well as to the families. Step 5, celebrate your success. So this is a huge endeavor, and recognizing that it is a challenge at the beginning of the process is a great way to start. Recognizing that it's a challenge at the end is also a great way to start, or to end. Not all of the efforts were successful. We did this in a number of different counties. Not all of them yielded data. However, recognizing that the community kind of coming together, thinking about the issue, getting the schools on board, and thinking through this process, we found that that was success in and of itself. So a lot of these TOEs were really excited to get involved in 2015 and hopefully come up with a smoother process that will allow them to actually yield some data. So there you go. A little bit in the weeds there. Thanks.
Any questions?
You're not done. Oh, I'm not done yet. Sorry.
Any questions for this part?
Yeah.
I have a question, and I'm sorry if you said this isn't here, and at the risk of sounding really ignorant, I'm relatively new to homeless research. You said sometimes you called them. Did you find that most of them had cell phone numbers and that the numbers were reliable? I guess, how did you access the correct phone number, and how did you know it was still a reliable phone number however many weeks later, and kind of what was the dropout or the inability to collect based on a bad contact?
Yeah, so we've actually found that in most of the communities that we've worked, about 93% of the population report having a cell phone. Whether or not that cell phone is currently working, because a lot of them are burn phones, is another question. But it was actually really high among the families. So the school districts usually have emergency contact information. So whether it's the number of the actual household that we were contacting or somebody else that they kind of get the message from, they actually had very successful rates of contacting each of the people that they were trying to contact. It was actually all done through telephone. So we had a couple of schools that thought that they would be seeing families kind of as people came through the door and that kind of thing in smaller communities, but mostly all of it was done by telephone. Yeah.
So I might have missed this in your presentation, but were you solely focusing on youth that were still connected with their families instead of, I know Youth Town also held a lot of events and communities and things like that to target funds?
Yeah, so with the school district, we were focusing on youth that were still connected to a school. So what we found is that the majority of them were still connected to a family. We did have a number of youth who were counted through our shelter counts and things like that, who are not connected to the schools, some who were but were not connected to families. In general, we found very low numbers of youth who are not connected to their families still. And a lot of those, especially in Santa Cruz County, were kind of in that 17, 18-year-old range. Yeah.
A couple points on that. The first is you talked about doing both the shelter and those connected schools. Our children in shelters are in school where the parents are behind bars.
Yeah.
Point blank. So
wow.
What did you worry about with, unless the kid comes sick or it's on the first couple days in getting them into school. So how did you account to make sure you weren't duplicating the children?
Yeah, so we didn't do any calls for those that reported that they were in shelters. So making sure that that was part of it. And then getting where they were actually staying on the night, if they reported that they were in one of our county shelters, they were excluded from the count as well.
My other point on that is, I don't know California law, if a minor is found on the street and you do not report them immediately to the police in Indiana, you're behind bars. And we're real serious about that children are not allowed on the streets. So therefore, when I provide medical care on the streets, the first thing that I say is, you're 18, right? And they say, why, yes.
Why, yes, yes.
That point, and we move forward with that. And the police know I do this, as long as it's not a 10-year-old. If it's a 15-year-old or whatever, the cops will say, this person's 18. Mm-hmm. Because they want me to do it. Well, most of them do. There's jerks in every profession. But most of them are good. What's your situation in California? I mean,
Right. So, it's not nearly as strict. we'll go with that first. So one of the great things about going through the County Office of Education was that they were kind of the lead here in determining kind of what the legal ramifications were for how they were dealing with each of these situations, which was fantastic. The other piece is that I am sure that there were some youth who received that phone call and said, of course, yes, I am living with someone else, and reported that number. So there may be a little bit of error inside that. There's also the youth that were found kind of independent that fit into that 18 category where you're kind of like, okay. So a lot of our youth were seniors probably. If we kind of go back and check in with our homeless liaisons, it does seem that a lot of them were kind of probably in that 18 category, though maybe they were on the edge of 17. So we won't pry too much into that.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.